We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Welcome to Friday, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 FM. This is Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merritt Assembly of God. And you can find our church at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. General geographic location, we're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney Parkway in the Merritt Park Place subdivision. And so if you need directions on how to find us, you can reach us at 454-4263. You can like us on Facebook. You can check us out on our website, merrittassembly.com. This coming Sunday will be our 23rd, we'll be concluding our 23rd year of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God. And we're thankful for everything that God's done, but believing that he is going to do even greater things. So Sunday night, we're going to be having a Christmas cookie and hot chocolate celebration. That's coming up. And if you'd like to come be a part of that, you're more than welcome to. I don't need to eat that many Christmas cookies anyway. So that's coming up. We do have our kids' Christmas program coming up on December the 20th, our Christmas celebration coming up on the 20th. We have a youth Christmas party tonight, a pastor board staff Christmas party tomorrow night. It is just a really busy season. Our women's Christmas party is coming up Monday night. Our children's ministry Christmas party coming up on Wednesday night. Our vintage Christmas service coming up on Wednesday at 11 a.m. It's going to be a busy time. We'd love for you to come and be a part of as much of that as you can. One last announcement about the North Merritt Island United Methodist Church drive-through nativity scene. Absolutely free. Their 20th year of doing it, so they have learned a few things, I'm sure, in those 20 years, and it'll be better this year than ever before. 6355 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. The drive-through nativity is open from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. each of those two nights. So take advantage of those if you can. So we have been talking about remembering. I told you yesterday about the television commercial, December to Remember. We just need to remember no matter what month it is. And that's what we want to help you to do. And so we have been talking about 2 Peter chapter 1. Most of this week, if not all this week, and because I don't remember whether we did it on Monday or not. So we did not do it on Monday. So it has not been all of this week. But let's begin reading today, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12. And it says, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of the things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease." So yesterday we had concluded by talking about how Peter said that he did not want to be negligent to remind the church always of these things. There was going to be a constant reminder. When I think of things like that, I think of when the children of Israel were crossing the Jordan River into the Promised Land. God instructed them to take up 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan River, and when they got across, they were to build an altar so that people would remember what God had done for them. So I want to ask you today, are there some things that God has done for you that you have forgotten? Because the devil would really like to use our faulty memories as a strategic weapon to get us complaining and murmuring and ungrateful about the things that God has done. So I want to ask you about any time that you were praying and God came through. You had a major need in your life and God answered that. You need to remember that. Some people, you know, put it on a calendar. Some people remember the actual day that they gave their heart to the Lord. So I want to ask you, what sort of remembering aids have you come up with? Because you don't want to be negligent in remembering all of the things that God has done for you. It says that there were some people who remembered as long as Joshua was alive and as long as the elders of Joshua were alive. But when those people died, all of a sudden they began to forget. I believe that one of the things that is taking place in America right now is we have forgotten the things that made us great. We have forgotten the sacrifice. You know, earlier this week was December 7th, the attack on Pearl Harbor, a day that would live in infamy. And yet there are some people who have no recollection whatsoever of what it is like to be attacked by an enemy and what the response to that should be. So Peter said, I want to make sure that I do not fail or am negligent in reminding you always of these things. What things was Peter reminding them of? Well, it says, though you know and are established in the present truth. In other words, he says, I want to remind you of the thing that you already know. I want to remind you of the thing that you already know. One of the things about our current mindset in civilization is we are constantly looking for the new thing. We are looking for something that we have not heard or we have not learned. And Peter said, I want to remind you about the truth that you already know. My wife and I, when we were first married, we spent about 2 years and we were not engaged in full-time ministry. We were helping out at our church. We were doing whatever we could. That involved nursing home ministry and all sorts of things like that. And there was a internationally known pastor. He was pastoring the world's largest church at that point in time. It was a church that was built upon prayer. It was a church that was built literally, you know, I can relate to this, is he started by preaching to a tree and then all of a sudden the animals started coming around and then people started coming around and saying, why is this crazy man out there preaching to these animals? And God ended up building this tremendous church that people have gone to and been blessed by for decades now. And he came to Tulsa, Oklahoma, which is a very vital connection there in the Bible Belt, and tens of thousands of believers gathered. And I sat there and I was like, okay, what can this this incredible pastor, what message will he bring to people in Tulsa, Oklahoma that know the Word of God so well? And you know what he did? He got up there and he preached a 3-point salvation message. And I'm sure that there were a lot of people who left that day and they said, well, what kind of, you know, basic message is that? And I came away with a different mindset, and that is this: I wonder if at times we haven't been so enamored with the new thing that we have forgotten the foundational thing, that we are sinners and we needed a Savior, and Jesus came and paid the price, and he wants whosoever will to call upon the name of the Lord, that they be saved, them and their entire household. I wonder if sometimes we need to be reminded of the very foundational things that we already know. You know, sometimes you need to be reminded. I think of a story I heard about a man and his wife, and they were having some communication issues, and so they had agreed to go to counseling, and they lived out on a farm, and so just pretty basic, and so they went and they met with the counselor, and the counselor, after he had heard, you know, the wife share her side of the story, and the husband really was a man of few words, and so after they were done, the counselor looked over and he told the old farmer, he said, "Look, my recommendation is that you tell your wife that you love her, that you tell her that you love her frequently." And the old man looked at him and he said, "Look, I told her I loved her on the day that we got married, and if it ever changes, I'll let her know." And that is not the mindset. We need to be reminded constantly about the fact that that God loves us, that we are supposed to be repentant of our sins. We need to be reminded of the things that we know. And Paul says, he said, "You are already established in these things. You not only know them, but you're established in them, but I need to remind you of them on a regular basis." And so I was talking with a missionary this last Sunday night after our church service. We had a missions service on Sunday night, and he was telling us that in the entire time frame that he has attended the church out of his home, out of his base of operations, he travels internationally to minister to churches in various parts of the world. But when he's in America, he attends this one local church, and he says, "I have never known them not to give an altar call." He said, that particular church does three things. One is they know how to get people saved. They know how to disciple people. They know how to give. Those were their three things. They give to missions. They give to their community. And he said, those are the three things that they do well. And he said, they have multiple people get saved every service. So I want to remind you today about the simplicity of the gospel, that Jesus died for your sins. It is that truth that is necessary for us to remember. And verse 13 says, by the way, he reminds us in verse 12, he reminds us in verse 13, and he reminds us in verse 15. So three times in these four verses here, he reminds us. He says, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I am in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." And that is the purpose of the reminding. The fact that he wanted to remember was the things that they already knew. He wanted to remind them of things that they already knew. And so a lot of times people in school would pray, "God, help me to remember the things that I never studied." Well, he can't help you to remember things that you don't know. You've got to know things in order for them to be, for you to be reminded of them. And then in verse 13, he says, the reason that this is right, that it is the proper thing to do, is because when I remind you of these things, it is going to stir you up. It is going to keep you from settling. It is going to be a reminder that you and I are supposed to be moved with compassion. So I want to ask you to adopt a different mindset when you go to church, and that is that you are not just there to hear something that you've never heard before, but that you are there to be reminded of things you have heard and known a thousand times before. I've heard a person say that their church was so hungry for the Word of God that if he got up there and quoted the ABCs, that he believes that people would get saved because they are just so hungry for the presence of God and to know them that whatever the message was, whether it was a reminding message or whether it was new revelation, whether he was bringing out an old treasure or a new treasure, that people were going to get saved. I remind you to stir you up today. We tend to want to slow down the older that we get. And actually what we need to do is continue to stir things up. I think it's very important that we stay fresh and vibrant, not just in our relationship with God, but also to stir up your earthly relationships, stir up your marriage, remind your spouse that you love them, remind your kids that you love them, because let me tell you, the reality is they hear more negative input than they hear positive input. Make sure that your positive reinforcement, your encouragement, and your edification is more substantial than the negative that other people are speaking into their life. I remind you, stir it up, fan it into flame. Do not let the fire go out. When I was a boy in Oklahoma, we ended up, my brother and I slept on a sleeper sofa in the living room, and there was a fireplace in the living room as well. And that thing would be a raging fire when we went to bed, but in the morning when we got up, the fire had all but gone out. And you know, if you got up in the middle of the night and you stirred things up, if you made sure that there was fresh fuel there, if you made sure that there was proper air circulation, that things were continuing to go, then that fire would never go out, but you had to maintain it. You had to stir it up. And so when you come to church this week, I hope that you will come with this mindset, and that is this: I'm coming to be stirred up. If the preacher shares something that I already know, I still want to be stirred up by that, because it's what your expectation is going to have a direct correlation on what kind of response you're going to have to that message. You know, after 23 years, I can tell you that not everything that I preach is brand new revelation. But that doesn't mean that I've started coasting in. Instead, what it indicates is that there are new people that are in the church that weren't there when I preached it before. And it was needed for them, for the congregation, to hear before. And God says it's needed for these new people to hear now. And so I remind you of these things. Peter reminded the people that this book was written to, of these very foundational elements of the Word of God, of their doctrine, so that they would constantly be stirred up in their faith. So just about every year we preach our 16 statement of fundamental truths. I try and do it in a fresh way. I try and do it in a relative way. But the importance of that is because those foundational truths stir us up. They're very important to keep our relationship on boil level, if you will. Verse number 14, knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. And so there was a purpose for it, and there was also a reason. Peter, If you were to go back into the last chapter of the Gospel of John, and I'm turning over there now, you're familiar with the disciples going fishing and Jesus telling them where to throw the net, and when they get to shore, he's already cooked breakfast, and they count the fish that they had caught, and the dialogue that Jesus has, and he says, Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? You're familiar with that. Lord, you know that I love you. But in verse number 17, the last part of 17, the first part of 18, it says, Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. And Peter never forgot that. Peter never forgot that. Now, if you look there in John, the 21st chapter, you are going to see, then Peter turning around saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. That would be John, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? And Jesus said, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Follow me. Peter was concerned, well, if that's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to this other guy? And Jesus said, what difference does that make to you? You just need to follow me. Peter never forgot that. And so now, as he nears the end of his life, he is wanting to finish well, and he is also wanting to finish with a legacy that would be a constant reminder to the church so that they would not abandon the faith. They would not abandon their mission. I watched a video the other day, and it said that one of the richest places on earth is the graveyard, because so many dreams rest there that the world knows nothing about. That inventions never took, or inventions that people had that would have been a blessing to the world, but the people never stepped out and embraced them. That now the grave holds all of those secrets and all of that wealth. And you and I want to stir you up today. This Christmas season, let's not be complacent. Let's not be negligent in our duty to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. But I want to stir you up. The Word of God is still the Word of God. The God we serve is still a God who hears prayer and answers prayer. He is still in the salvation business. He is still in the redemption business. He is still in the calling and the equipping business. He still heals. He still restores. He still reconciles. He is still God. And so I want to remind you, Peter said, I'm drawing near to the time where I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. Peter said, I'm not going to live forever. And one of the things that make the holidays such a challenge is because a lot of times we remember loved ones that have put off their tent. Who've put off their tent. Now, the missionary that we had the other night, his wife died a couple of years ago. But he said, she's the one that got promoted. She's the one that got promoted. I'm still here. I'm still doing my job, but she's the one that got promoted. And one day I'll tell a funny story that he shared from another missionary there. But the reality is, all of us are older now than we've ever been before in our life, which means that we are closer to putting off our tent than we've ever been. So I want to ask you, what sort of legacy are you going to leave? What are you going to leave to help remind those who come after you of the relationship you had with God. You know, my mother-in-law, probably 30 years ago, she said, you know, if I had a safety deposit box, the one thing that I would put in that safety deposit box, which is irreplaceable, is I would put in the photographs and the pictures of loved ones who are no longer with us because they can't be replaced. The truth of the matter is we cannot replace the loved ones that we have. Peter is no longer around, but he made sure that we had 1st and 2nd Peter, the epistles that he wrote, to remind us, to stir up the things that we already know, the things that is established. He said, I want to make sure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. Can I encourage you this Christmas? Go out and make a memory. Go out and make a memory. Make a memory for your kids. Make a memory for your spouse. Make a memory for the kingdom. Do something significant that is going to help people to remember. Remember that Jesus died upon the cross for you. And he told you, hey, I love you and I got a plan for your life. And so do whatever is necessary to put a reminder in place. Sometimes people plant time capsules so that people in the future will be able to know what life was like when we lived here. I don't really care too much about whether or not they know that I had an 8-track player in my car. I don't care if they knew that I had a cassette player. You know, CDs are even obsolete now to a large extent. What I do want them to know is that Jesus was on the throne every day of my life, that Jesus was there and he will be there for them. Make sure that you leave a legacy of faith for those that come after you. You know, I have boxes and boxes and boxes of sermon notes, and I've got recordings after recordings after recordings of sermons, and that's what I want to leave as a legacy for my family, to know, hey, Bob loved Jesus and Jesus loved Bob, and where they are right now, that's where I want to be. Father, I pray that you would help us to remember this weekend. Lord, that you would stir us up, that we too would leave a legacy for those coming behind us, that they would know you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away. Purify my heart.
don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on in